Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to the Active Packet Company podcast feed. I am Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Tyler Brook. Say what's up to the people, Tyler.
What's up, people? It is my favorite draft talk of the year. We're talking about the beef. O-lineman, baby.
We might have to talk about this in multiple pods, actually.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I didn't even get close to the top 100 just because there's so many guys.
Yeah, I've watched 13 guys, and there's another 10 that I got to watch.
Yeah, I got 14, and there's so many I wanted to watch and just simply did not have the time.
Like, the 23rd offensive lineman in this draft class was just mocked as a first-round pick by Mel Kiper. So, yeah.
Just insanity. But
on the consensus draft board, I don't know if I said that or not, but yeah, I mean, tons of good guys. This is not going to be the same issue that we've had with at least the linebacker and safety classes that we've talked about. We're like, a little disappointing. Offensive line, it's as good as everyone said it was.
I mean, I've only been scouting since, oh my gosh, when would that be? 2014 draft, maybe, and that was like very base level. Far and away the best offensive line class I think I've ever watched. It's just, there's so many guys. I watched 14 guys and I liked every single one of them.
All right, let's get into number one, because I think that kind of like ties into kind of one of my thoughts. My top guy is Joe Alt. Same. I don't know if he's your top guy. I think so, he's consensus one now at this point. I was trying to think when the last time a better tackle prospect than Alt came out. I had to think for a while, and I don't know if I've seen one. Like, Joe Thomas is before my time.
Yeah, same. I mean,
is as good as I've seen.
I had Fashanu as my OT1 heading into the preseason. I kind of kept that for a while, and then just anytime I turned on a different Notre Dame game, it's just a 6'8 guy should not move like he does. And it blows me away. I like just an absolute road grader in the run game, like just bullies guys. And my only question, I think we had brought this up, you know, off the pod months ago, but like, who is he being tested by, you know, with that schedule as far as pass rushers? But I don't think it really matters when you have that size and length. And it's not like he put up bad tape in pass pro. Like just moves different for a guy that size. So when you look at
just watching him getting into a stance is crazy.
I know.
It's nuts.
And I mean, I love Fashanu and I still have him as a potential top 10 pick, but like, it's just different. And I mean, you got pedigree, size, length, athleticism, just unreal play strength, just all of this. He checks every box.
Literally son of an NFL coach.
Did not
was
know
a tight
that.
End. Was, sounds oh, right. He's a Hex kid or Alt's kid. I thought heck, I messed it up. So here are the top tackles off the board since that 2014 class. Greg Robinson, Andres Pete, Ronnie Stanley, Garrett Bowles, Mike McGlinchey, Jonah Williams, Andrew Thomas, Penei Sewell, Ike Ekwonu, and Paris Johnson.
Sewell comes to mind. Sewell, is just really freaking good. I loved Andrew Thomas. I know he's not, you know, what I expected in New York, but it's not like he's bad. But I think the only other one for me that would come close is Sewell, but I think Sewell's more different than anything else, so I think it's harder to compare.
It's funny because a couple of these other guys too, like Conklin went high, Jake Matthews went high. Mm-hmm. I think he's a pretty comparable player to them, but he's like 5 inches taller than those. Like he's like Jake Matthews if he was bigger, or like a much better version of like Anthony Costanzo, right? Like,
I miss Anthony Costanzo. Retired too soon. It's a real shame he dipped.
But yeah, I'm all in on Ault. Just a freak.
Yeah.
And he's only getting better. Again, you kind of mentioned it. I guess let's talk about Fashano too. I assume he's your OT2.
Yeah.
He's my OT2. I was in the same spot as you. We're coming into the season. He would have been my number one guy. But I think Ault just took that next step and
He
just
didn't,
kind of shows you like there still might be room for growth with Ault, right? Like, again, he's only a couple years removed from being a tight end, right? So, again, with that,
It's
NFL
hard.
coach pedigree, all that stuff, like,
I
man,
know you're
this
not supposed
thing
to
might
look at the
only go to the
helmet,
moon.
but it's also a Notre Dame tackle, and like, it's just hard to get that out of my head.
Yeah, but he's a lot better than like
I
McGlinchey
know
was.
he's so much better than a lot of these guys that have come out recently, and it's I really don't want to take anything away from Fashano. Like I said, he was my OT1 for a while because just like prototypical frame. He's got length. He moves really well. I really like his anchor. I think you can even develop that to be even better. His foot speed's really good. He gains tons of depth in his pass sets. There's just so many boxes he checks as well. It's just he's not 6'8" and demolishes people in the run game.
Yeah. I just like the alt notes. Like freak insane shouldn't exist. Like that's me watching him. There's a lot of fun ones. The NC State game, there's that play. It's the long Estime
Or he just caves
touchdown.
in Wilson.
He caves in Peyton Wilson as a unbalanced, he's basically playing tight end in that spot. He's playing an unbalanced tackle. And he just caves that thing in. Fashanu, just super consistent. Apparently, he was dealing with a little bit of an injury from like the Ohio State game on. Kind of a bummer we didn't get to see him fully healthy for that Ohio State game because it's like one of the few important games that a Big Ten team plays in terms of quality of opponent, right? And then, obviously, he didn't have the best turnout. Last year's Ohio State, or the 2022 season. I think that was probably his roughest game was the Ohio State game. But I think you just put it all together and you'd say like use contacts and just show that he's consistent.
I feel like in any other draft, this guy's going number one overall. Like, there's going to be a guy that gets him at 5 or 6, and it's just going to be insane value for Joe Alt.
We'll see, man. I think at this point, now I wouldn't put money on this, but I think four quarterbacks are going in the first four
I know.
picks. And I think six quarterbacks are going in the first 13.
And then there's the Harrison Neighbors discussion, and then how high are those guys going?
Yep.
Like, someone is going to get Joe Alt way too late, and it's going to be an absolute steal. And if
Nuts.
you're, jeez, I'm just trying to think, man. Like, the Chargers with Slater and him at tackle, like, good luck, buddy. Like, there's some teams I'm thinking about that could get him. It's just going to be. I can't wait to watch him in the NFL. Like, it's going to be
Yeah.
so fun.
Yeah, he's going to be really good. Third, maybe a hot take, J.C. Latham from
No,
Alabama.
okay. So we're going into
That's
this a
my
little
guy.
blind. I mean, I think all of our conversations were just like, I like this guy, I like this guy. I also have Latham as OT3.
Really good on doubles. 77, who was in that right guard form. If you guys don't remember how that Bama season played out, right? Like, there was that stretch where South Florida was giving it to Alabama for a while, and it ended up coming down to the end of a game. They made a change at right guard, and they put 77 in, and they basically just had him and Latham next to each other, and were just like, "We're running right, and there's nothing that you guys can do about it." So, like second half of the season, those double teams, they're just caving people in. Played right tackle. I think he can play all the non-center spots. Like, if you want to play him at guard early on, like, play him at guard, but I think ultimately he's going to end up being a tackle just because of how valuable he can be there. There's a lot of plays where you could see that he's like a real smart guy. Like, he'll miss, he'll not get help from like a tight end, for example, on the backside of like a zone play. And that's a play where you're trusting, you're moving laterally. So you're trusting, hey, if this guy crosses my face, the tight end behind me is going to take care of this. Well, tight ends at Alabama aren't that good. So, there's situations where, a guy blows by him, he realizes the play's blown by, and then he'll like box out that guy, right? Instead of getting a holding penalty or something like that. I think he's probably a little bit better of a run blocker than a pass blocker right now, but he can move really well. He's a Wisconsin kid. He's from Milwaukee. Ended up transferring to IMG for I think his junior and senior seasons. Maybe it was only his senior season. I think he's easy first round pick. Man, it's hard to put him in the same tier as Alt, but I think the top three tackles, there's drop off after that, in my opinion. Like Latham, I mean, unless there's some like off field stuff going on with him, that dude should be a top 10 pick. And I know that's hard to say when, four quarterbacks might go, and we all know the wide receivers are going to fly off the board too, but man, that guy should not be on the board for long.
I may have him on the tier of his own behind Alton Fashanu. And that's no knock on him. I just think day one, he might need a little bit more time. But I mean, you're 342 pounds with 35 plus inch arms. Like
And
he's
he's a
got,
dancing bear. Like,
thickness and length. Like you talked about to the point of him being smart. I think he does a really good job of quickly recognizing when he's going to get beat, particularly with speed. Like he does a really good job of using a guy's speed against him to just get him behind the quarterback. He can counter pass rush moves, just thick mitts. I just think there's a couple technical refinements he needs. I don't think his anchor is as good as it could be for a 342 pound, and it's not bad. Like it's a good anchor, but like it can be better. There's just a couple things where I think he can keep improving, which you improve on what he's got now, it is going to be freakish, and he probably can be as good as Alton Fashanu. It's just, I think I have him on a tier of his own just behind those two guys because I'm not totally sold on him being an instant impact guy like the other two.
if someone wants to run, like a vertical run game, like you want to have down blocks on power or something like that, or inside zone, something like that, they're gonna love Latham. And I don't think it matters if he's a tackle or a guard to them. He does play right tackle, if that matters. This is our first right tackle that we're talking about. The other two were left tackles. He's played there for a couple years now for Bama. I think he'd be a really good pick. Super excited. I know I've seen a couple mock drafts where like he's available at 25.
I'd sprint
If
that
he's
card
there at
in. Are you
25,
kidding
yeah,
me?
dude, I'm not even thinking. There's a couple like the next four dudes, I would say, on my list are all guys that like 25 might be there. Let's take him. My fourth guy, Amarius Mims. Ooh, all right. There's a lot to talk about here. Freakishly athletic.
Yes. And huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Alt, him, and Kingsley are probably the most freaky offensive linemen that I've seen so far in this class, just in terms of raw traits. Hasn't played that much, right? Like he got in, what was it like? The playoff games or the SEC championship game and playoff games for Georgia in 2022. And then this year he dealt with a high ankle sprain and he had to have tightrope surgery. Did end up coming back, but then Georgia didn't play in the SEC championship game. They didn't play in the playoffs. So he ended up opting out of the bowl game. So it's not like he's played a whole ton of high quality opponents outside of like the playoff teams 2 years ago. I don't think his lack of playing time is due to anything other than Georgia was pretty deep. He was a pretty young guy and he ended up getting hurt. But it still leaves kind of gaps there, right? Like, I don't think they had played a high quality. He specifically, I don't think he played a high quality opponent this entire season. So you're kind of going off of consistency from this year and then good on good from last year. And that's a little tough when you're talking about a guy who might be a top 15 pick, but he's a good talent. For a young guy, I think he sees it pretty well. He knows how to handle stunts and
He
stuff
does.
like that.
Yes, he does.
So I'm willing to bet on him, but obviously there's gaps in the resume there.
I have him as OL6, and it's, I mean, Again, we're talking about, I think the top like nine, eight guys are all first round picks. So it's not like I'm hammering the guy or anything like that, but just an absolutely massive frame. I think one of my favorite aspects about him is even if he can't get that low because he's so freaking big, his hip explosion at the point of attack is so good. So like the technique at coming into those blocks with that size and just strength allows him to just kind of bully guys when he is making contact. I'm not totally sold on his lateral agility, handling inside moves and stuff like that. But like you said, he is smart. He is obviously incredibly gifted. I just wish I could have seen more good on good, which is why I'm a little hesitant, injury history and things like that. And just there's too many questions for me to be as high on him. But when you're projecting off just traits, I see why there are people that have him like, as high as OT3.
My fifth guy, Tyleese Fuaga from Oregon State. I think he's going to be a guard, or at least that's where I would play him. Brandon Thorne, who does more work on offensive linemen than anyone, stole my comparison, which I thought was going to be novel to me, but apparently is not. And that is Mike Iupati. He's the guy that he reminds me of. Iupati was, mid first round pick out of Idaho, ended up kicking inside the guard. Was a part of like those Jim Harbaugh offensive lines with the 49ers, if you guys remember that. I think he struggles with quicker players crossing his face, and that's going to be an issue at the next level. Like, you didn't get a whole ton of, I mean, even like 260 guys in the Pac-10, in the Pac-12, crossing his face with decent speed, but like that's something that's going to show up in the NFL. They did a bunch of like pin and pull stuff. If he gets a guy in a wide set, like a guy's lined up in a wide nine, he's absolutely going to kick that guy out. I kind of think he's like on the next tier to me. Like, he's not the freaky athlete. I think you want him in a phone booth. That's just kind of where I'm sitting on him. Oregon State, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned what
No,
school.
you're good. This may be my hottest take, and again, first round grade. Let's not freak out here, but I have him as OL7. Everyone talks about how this guy's a top 10 pick, and like when I'm thinking
I'm
about all
not
these,
buying that.
yeah,
I'm
I'm
not
not
buying
buying it
that
at
at all.
all. The things I love, like strong ass hands. Like once he gets engaged with you, I don't think you're getting off the guy, and he's gonna, drive you backwards. He's decent in open space. I think it might be a little overrated how good he is at open space. He looks a little lumbering at times. I think there's some balance issues with his game where I can be maybe caught lunging. And like you said, just when guys cross his face, it might be a little bit of an issue. You can hide a lot of these inefficiencies if you kick him inside to guard. But at the same time, he does have that length where I do think it's at least worthwhile trying him out at tackle.
Yeah, he's a right tackle for Oregon State, by the way. Mims was another right tackle, too. Next guy, sixth. This is another one that I don't think Fuaga is going to be there at 25. Latham Mims maybe will be there. Here's the other one. Graham Barton from Duke. Ended up really liking him, man. I think he's better than who was the Northwestern kid? Skoronski?
Skronsky.
I think he's better than Skoronski. His
Agreed.
anchor is really
I didn't
good.
like Skronsky, honestly. I thought he was extremely overrated.
I like Skoronski, but I like Graham Barton better. I think he's a better run blocker than the Washington kid, Fuatanu, I believe is how you say his name. I think Barton can play every spot. I don't know if every team is going to give him a chance to play tackle, but I think he's good enough that he can be a like plus 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 guard. Like, we're talking like Zach Martin level. I think he's that caliber of a guard if you want to have him play there. But maybe a place like Green Bay is the place that will actually give him a look at tackle, right? We've seen Green Bay play around, but I mean, David Bakhtiari was looked at as a center, right, coming out of Colorado. Barton was a left tackle for Duke. I think he can do more than that. I actually really liked what he did against Verse, the Florida State pass
That
rusher.
film was just a like heroin for anyone that likes offensive line play. That was probably one of my favorite games of any prospect I watched.
I think I came away liking both of them more
Yes, it
than
was just
when I
good on
entered.
good,
I was just
just
like,
they
yeah.
battled.
I was like, these are NFL players. That's
Yeah.
cool. So yeah, I mean, Barton is a guy. I dude, even if you want to play him at right guard, like, do it. John Runyon
So,
Jr. just got 10 million a year. Like, take a guard in the first round. I don't care. Do it.
when I first turned on the tape and I immediately saw what Barton looked like, I was like, this guy looks too small to me to be like this tackle kicked inside guy. And then you watch him play, and he might be one of the most competitive ass linemen in this draft class. Like, fights through the whistle, just not let go. He is driving his legs. He is kicking ass, regardless of who his matchup is. Pad level's good. I think he can clean up his hands a little bit, but that's fine. But he shuffles really well in pass pro. I think sometimes he can get caught short stepping around the edge, but just it's the competitive toughness for me. He moves really well. His pad level and just strength are there. He checks so many boxes with me for a guard. I think he's just going to be a kick-ass ball player at the NFL level. And I have him as OL5.
33-inch arms, 80-inch wingspan. He had a shoulder, which is why he didn't do anything at the combine. But that's not expected to be like a major injury or anything like that. I like him, man. I like him a
Ass
lot.
kicker.
And
Just
I
ass
understand.
kicker.
Yeah. And I understand that he's going to play on the interior. But like, man, he might be an all pro. He might be
He's
an
an
all pro.
extremely good guard that if like an emergency happens, I'm not going to panic if he has to play tackle.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. This is probably my hot take of the draft. Seven. Kingsley Suamataia.
Okay.
I don't know
I'm
if I
pretty
said
sure
that
you
right.
butchered it, but
Yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure I butchered it. It's Kingsley, the kid out of BYU. He transferred out of Oregon. He is Penei Sewell's cousin. Everyone
Did
that I
not know
talked
that.
to, oh yeah. He was a five-star recruit out of Utah. Started at left tackle as a true freshman at Oregon. And then ended up transferring to BYU to get closer to home. Everyone at Oregon who was there for Sewell and Kingsley said they ex fully expected Kingsley to be better by the time that he left Oregon. Now, he left that developmental program after a year and spent 2 years at BYU. So he played left tackle at Oregon. First year at BYU, he played right tackle, and then he moved back to left tackle this past season. So he's gotten a lot of range. As far as physical gifts go, I think I've already mentioned this. It's Alt, it's Mims, and then it's Kingsley to me. I think Kingsley has that level of an upside. There's plenty of stuff that you need to clear up, but he's an absolute freak. And I don't know if they're actually gonna be willing to take him at 25. I haven't seen a lot of people that think he's gonna go in that range. I think a lot of people think that he's gonna go, mid to early second round. But it wouldn't surprise me if Green Bay was just like, look, we don't need a tackle, but if we're going to take a developmental tackle, it's going to look like this dude.
I have him as OT11 or OL. I needed to start
Wow.
specifying that. OL11. And there's nothing wrong. Again, I think it's still like a top 50 grade on the kid. Like, it's just an insane OL class. He is so smooth for a tackle. I really did appreciate that. I think he just
And
moves
so
really well.
strong.
Yeah,
And I
he
know there's
did.
like quality competition stuff because he played in the Big 12, but like he caves people in.
Yeah. You pretty much hammered all the things I really like about him. I just like keep putting smooth down. I wish he was a little more nasty. Like if he's looking for work in pass pro, I think he needs to come into the point of contact with better pad level, and hip explosion. But obviously he is so just naturally strong that he can still win with there. And then if a pass rusher has a two-way go on him, I can see him getting beat every now and then. So I have some questions there. But again, those are just developmental things. And I think just the reason I have some guys graded lower on my big board, the pattern just seems to be there's so many guys right now that can start as rookies,
Yeah.
where some of these guys I think are a bit more of projects. And I mean, I love the upside on this kid.
Yeah.
I do really like what I see. It's just I have some questions about not only the technique, but can he, up the scale a little bit on the nastiness, which, I still love in my OL guys.
It's weird because I think him and Fuaga are kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We're like that nasty. They like turn it on and off. Like you
Yeah.
could tell on big downs, they're like, all right, short yardage, I need to move this guy. And it's like, if you could just do this every play, dude,
Yes.
like you're gonna be like, if he could do that every play, we're talking about a top 10 pick.
By the way, have we skipped someone on the big board, the Washington kid?
He was my next guy. He's
Oh.
eighth for me.
Whoa, okay.
Trayvon New. I don't know what I'm missing here. I feel like usually I'm higher on the guys exactly like him, where it's like solid pass protector, can move pretty well. He's a little bit undersized. Maybe he's a guard. Maybe he ends up playing center. He was a left tackle for Washington. I feel like I'm usually higher on these guys, but he's being hyped up as a guy who like might not even be there at 25. And in this draft class, I'm like, are his traits that rare? Like, I understand like his floor is super high. His floor is super high, but I just don't know how much better he's going to get from here. I think he could play all five, right? I think him and Barton are the two guys that you could say that about in this draft class. I know they had him snapping at, I think it was the Senior Bowl that he was at. I'd probably think about taking him at 25. I'd probably want Kingsley instead, but I think Fontenot probably has a better chance of actually getting drafted there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect to like him. He's my OL4, and every time I turn on Washington tape, the left tackle just kept standing out to me. And I think the two things I really like for him that I think help him stand out in such a talented class, his ability to reach landmarks on outside zone, like blew me away at times.
That's
Like
the
I'm
other
just
thing. He's going to be a really good zone
floored.
kid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm floored at some of the times. I'm like, this reach block he has to hit is so far away. And I think because he has the length, even though he's undersized, and he has that speed and get off the snap, he can hit that landmark so quickly. And then I just really like his strike timing and pass pro, where like he's going to be able to latch on, prevent guys from even getting to their moves. Those two qualities really stood out. And like, I get he's not perfect. I get he's a little undersized, but I think those two traits, along with the positional versatility, like I really like a lot of what he could bring, even if he isn't like the ideal left tackle because of that size.
The guy he reminded me a lot of was Zach Tom. And I really like Zach Tom. But Zach Tom was picked in the fourth round. And we're talking about this guy as a top 20 pick. And I guess that's why I'm a little bit lower on him. But that's not to say, I mean, I would think about taking him at 25. If he's the pick, I'm not going to be disappointed about it. And again, that's my eighth offensive lineman in this class. Like,
Just
that's how
stupid.
deep we are.
We're arguing 4 through 8, and like at the same time, 4 through 8 still have like fine at 25. Like this stupid depth in this class.
This is the last one that I wouldn't be mad about the team taking at 25. Ninth, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. He's a little bit nastier than I remembered he was at Oregon. Definitely like looks to finish stuff. Just kind of a solid all around center. Let me find my notes. I think he can play guard too. That's the other thing. Like he might not need to be a center at the next level. I thought it was funny. He dead snaps. So like he's not sending spirals back in like shotgun or anything like that. And I can't remember the last time a legitimate high, like I mean, he might be a first round pick, right? Like a guy drafted at that level to play center, actually played center at the college level and dead snapped instead of doing a spiral. I would assume that that's probably going to change, especially the Packers offense, if he ended up playing for Green Bay, like all the jet motion and stuff like that, the timing of those plays has to be pretty precise. So that's going to have to change up a little. So who knows if that switches up a little bit of his process. But I thought he's a solid guy, good size. Can move guys around a little bit nastier than you thought. I think he's going to be a good pass protector there. Doesn't have the same versatility that,
I
you know, a
agree.
Barton or Troy Fontenot do. Like he's not going to be playing tackle for you anytime soon, but if he's the pick at 25, I think he could start at right guard or at center. So
Yeah, I mean, I still really like him. Think he's strong, nasty. I like him in the screen game. Think he operates well. I think in the run game, he's just relying so much on his size and strength that it doesn't seem like he's really worried about technique. And I think if he loses that leverage battle, I've seen a couple times where his head can just get snapped straight back. I think he stops his feet at contact again because again, he's just like, I'm stronger than you. I will move you regardless of what I'm really doing. So those things kind of worry me. He's my OL8, and none of these are knocks because these are all still first round grades. And I would be happy with him at 25. Even if they want to play him at center, don't mind him as a Myers replacement. But I've been told that Myers was playing his best ball last year, so who knows?
I mean, we heard the same thing about Darnell Savage, and they were like, yeah, we think that he's going to be Keyshawn's backup in the slot. So, yeah, I don't know how much longer we have to entertain that idea, especially considering the fact that Myers is in a contract season too, right? Like, I don't know. Might be time to turn the page there. Pimp, I have Jordan Morgan from Arizona. He's an interesting player. This is where I get to guys that I would not take a 25, but I still think are like second round picks. Little tight hipped. I think he blocks stretch really well. I think that's why you draft him, is because he can do all the stuff in zone. Trice beat him up a couple times. Trice, the pass rusher from Washington, which I thought was funny because Latu didn't. And Latu is known to kind of have short arms, and Latu is considered the better pass rushing prospect of the two. So I do wonder, if Morgan goes against a little bit more length and strength at the next level, is that going to be an issue for him? Right. He's also a kid. He got hurt at the end of the 2022 season, which is why he didn't declare for the 23 draft, and he came back this past season. You can tell that he's played a lot of football. Passes off stunts very, very well. Smart dude, zone guy. I think probably a little bit overrated as a pass protector, but like in today's NFL, you take that guy in the second round and you give him a chance to start as a rookie, I think.
Yeah, I am probably lower on him than the consensus. He is 13 out of 14 for me, and he's like a day two grade for me. I think the arm length and the size make him probably more ideal of a guard, but he's just kind of like in that in-between zone. Like you said, I think he moves incredibly well. I think I can trust him to reach landmarks. My biggest issues I have with him, I think his hand placement's all over the place. Could see him getting called for holding a lot. I think he can overset and allow the inside on his pass sets. And then I think my biggest concern is his anchor. I think because of that hand placement, he can really get his chest exposed and just get kind of beat, which would make sense then why Braylon Trice had more success against him
Right.
compared to Latu. That anchor does worry me quite a bit. So all of that stuff, I think with the if you're gonna kick him inside the guard and his anchor's a little bit disappointing and his hand placement, I think there's room for that to become an issue. But again, I think he does move really well. He is super athletic. You can tell he's smart and has plenty of experience. I just think that frame and that skill set makes it kind of he's kind of stuck in two places, I guess, for me. So I had
I
him a little
think
bit
he's a
lower.
tackle for a lot of those reasons. I think if you're playing him at guard, you have to be a team that majors in zone run, right? Like, it has to be a specific type of team that is going to want to play him at guard, which is why, again, I think he's going to be more involved in the tackle market. My 11th guy, Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. I don't think he's the same athlete that Jaxson Powers-Johnson is. He's more of like an inside zone type of center. He can displace guys in the run game a little tight. I think he's more of a guy that, like, we talked about, like, the vertical run game, right? You want to run inside zone, you want to run power, you want to get him on down blocks, stuff like that. Like, you don't really want him going laterally, running outside zone or anything like that. If you're a big I formation team or something like that, he makes a lot more sense than, the Shanahan West Coast stretch kind of guys, because I don't think we really want him in space, but he does have some nasty. He can get some push up the line.
Yeah, no, I have him as OL12. I think a lot of what you're saying is right. I don't love his explosiveness or timing off the snap, which I think can have him get beat if, even in gap, if he has to get out pretty far. But I don't know much about snapping, but it seems like he's pretty consistently getting that ball right to where the QB wants it. I really like his punch timing and core strength. I think he can do a really good job of getting guys steered and opening up rushing lanes. So I think that's where the gap stuff makes a lot of sense. I don't get first round pick on him.
No. Because and again, I don't think everyone's going to be in on him because of his playing style. Like, there's no way that guy's going in the first round. I don't think, especially in this class where there's so many guys that can play center.
I think the other thing that worries me for him, for how much center he plays, and maybe this is unfair, I don't know if you saw the same thing, but there does feel like he's sometimes a tick late on recognizing the twists and stunts.
Yeah, I did notice that a little bit.
And the
All right.
stiffness, all that. OL 12 for me. I was a little disappointed.
I got my last two that I've seen. Two guys I really don't like that much. Or I just don't get the hype on right now. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. He was 12 for me. I watched him. I'm incredibly perplexed about why we're seeing this guy mocked in the first round. Hey, did you feel the same way?
I'm at OL 9 just off traits. I mean, he's almost 6'8", 322, but I'm just disappointed in how he plays football. Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
dude, there's like I get why people are excited about him, but this tackle class is so strong. I don't understand why a guy who needs this much stuff to work on is being talked about as like a first round pick when like Kingsley, like what, tell me one thing he does better than Kingsley. Nothing.
The thing that drives me nuts about him is I think they use him in gap a lot. And
Yeah.
instead of like washing out defenders, he's just throwing a shoulder in there. I'm like, you are 6'8", dude. Like, watch that guy out. Don't just throw a shoulder in there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just I'm hip tossing guys around. I'm just so much bigger and longer than guys. I'm just gonna, carry them around the edge. It's not anything technically proficient, but again, just like rare size athletic combo that if there's OL coaches across the league going like, I can fix him.
Some of you might get fired, though, is the problem. And I don't know
Yes,
if I trust
exactly.
all you guys. So yeah, these are a couple notes I have on him. High pad level. Has bad eyes. You can tell on like pin and pulls, kind of like the same thing that you were saying. Like they run a bunch of gap scheme. Oklahoma obviously is, more of a spread offense. So if teams try to jam up the interior, don't give up inside runs. So what does Oklahoma do? They start pulling their offensive linemen. There are times where he is a big guy moving at a fairly high speed. That's a tee shot. And he just whiffs. And it's because his eyes aren't in the right place. Like, just doesn't get the kick out because he's looking upfield. And it's like, did you think you were the insert guy? Like, that's not how counter works, right? Like, stuff like that.
There are other times where he just looks like he's hesitating, and I'm like, you are like twice that man's size. Do something. You
I
know
don't think
what,
he
though?
gathers
I'm gonna say.
himself well when he's making blocks, stops his feet in pass protection. Yeah, more of a project. I think I would take him in the third round, but I'm not touching him higher than that.
I think you've talked me into trading Kingsley and him on my board. And this is why we have draft talk, because sometimes I have all the notes and I'm looking at them and it literally says like he needs significant technical refinement. And then we're talking about Kingsley and like, at least Kingsley tries.
Yeah. My last guy, 13th, Cooper Beebe, Kansas State. I told you to watch the Missouri game before we got on here. I think that is the worst film I've seen of any of these offensive linemen so far. The Missouri game was very rough for BB. He's a guy who, in that game, they were rotating him in and out of the lineup at different spots. He was playing left guard and right tackle. Guyton was a right tackle, by the way. Morgan was a left tackle. Frazier, the West Virginia kid, was his center. He got edged a lot versus Missouri. I don't think he moves well in space, even though his athletic numbers are really, really good. Had a lot of bad film against Missouri. We were just talking about this in the APC Slack. Archon said that, he's lost a little bit of weight. I think he needed that. That entire Kansas State offense is kind of built around just getting like vertical displacement, right? A lot of like A-gap power and stuff like that, like short power moves, skip pulls, all that stuff. They're not really trying to run outside zone, things like that. I think BB has to fit with a very specific type of team in the run game. I think you probably still want to shave off a little bit more weight than he's carrying right now. And I think in pass protection, I'm not sold on him, to be totally frank. I mean, I think one, he's gonna have to play guard at the next level. I don't think that he's a tackle at all based off of
Well, he has no length either.
his athleticism on the perimeter. I don't think you could do it. I know what his numbers are on paper, and you guys know how much I like the on paper stats, but like I don't see it when I'm watching film. I think this is another guy I'd probably look at as like a third round pick, but it has to be in like the right home. He has to be in a place that's going to be, I formation, want to pull the guard to like run power, not want to pull the guard to run pin and pull. I don't want him in space.
I was floored when I saw the RAS to go and then watch, and I'm like, he's just not nearly as athletic as I thought he was going
Yeah,
to
dude.
be.
I don't know. Like, there's few guys that I'm like actually surprised about their testing. He's one of them. I didn't see him before the combine, so I didn't have the reaction
Same.
that I would normally have, on the day of the combine. I'm trying to think who's the man, the Kansas State pass rusher, not like recently. It was a couple years ago.
I was going to say Anudike Uzomah, but
No,
no.
it wasn't him. It was a couple years before that. I can't remember his name. Someone will figure it out. But
Oh, I might
like
have it.
he was a guy who like turned like a boat, but he had like a really good recon time. And I was like, how is that possible? And then, doesn't end up panning out at the NFL level. Like some of these guys might just be overtrained for these things.
I am curious that he dropped so much weight, because. Yeah, there are some things I like about him. Like you said, I think he has play strength. I think his hands are really good. I think he is a high IQ player. Obviously, he has significant experience. He can recognize things. His instincts are good in the screen game. It's just, yeah, there's some stuff I don't love. He does have very short arms. We talked about this before the pod. If he was a potentially a Packers pick, I think it would tell us a lot about what kind of run concepts the Packers want to run in 2024. Because it's been interesting. I feel like we've seen some year by year pretty big staple run plays that have changed from zone to pin and pull to just the concepts have changed year by year. So I think it would give us a hint if they drafted BB what kind of run concepts they want to run in 2024.
Yeah, so I think the guys that would tell you a lot in that way, I think BB and Frazier are kind of in the same boat, where it's like, okay, you want vertical displacement, you're gonna try to run more power, more I formation, more stuff like that, and then Morgan and Fontenot are the guys that are like, okay, you want to be more zone based. Right. And then everyone else is kind of a mix of everything. But those are the guys who kind of need the right homes, I think, to work out. I found the player, by the way, the Kansas State D-end, 2017, picked in the third round, Jordan Willis. He was,
Wow. Yeah, Bengals, right?
he was a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year 2016 at 6'4", 270 pounds. He ran a 4.53 40-yard dash and a sub 7 second three cone drill. That guy turned like a boat. I don't understand how he ran either of those two numbers. He is now out of the league and he had 10.5 career sacks. So yeah.
Hey, hit double digits. Let's
He's
go.
better than me, I'll tell you that. I couldn't get 10.
I haven't.
What's the most impressive stat that you think you could record in a professional sports game if you had a full game to play? I remember this came up. I can't remember what writer brought this up, but someone was like, I could look into a home run. And I was like, there's no
No.
way you guys are hitting like 100 mile an hour exit velocity on an MLB pitcher in an MLB park.
Are
There's
you
no
talking
way.
just football? I
Any
think I got the
sport.
answer.
Any sport.
Oh, no. Football, 39.6 passer rating. I'm just dirting one pass and I'm getting the hell out of
I think I could get an assist in the
there.
NBA. And
There you go.
maybe that's it. But there's no promise that I can even get that thing off. I'm 5'8", so we did it. Was there anyone that
Yes,
you
I have
watch
one
one more
more.
guy than me, so there has to be someone.
Christian Haynes out of UConn. Who I liked.
Dude, every person. Okay, so I'm waiting to watch him because I didn't want to spoil it for myself because I know he's gonna be half decent because every hashtag real ball knower that I know has said Christian Haynes is actually pretty good. So I haven't seen him because I still have like 13 more offensive linemen to go
I
through.
know.
And I don't want to just like ruin all the good ones in the beginning and have to slog through in the second half. But yeah, tell me about him.
He's tenacious as hell because he's like only 317 pounds, but like he fights his ass off in the trenches. Good pad level, hip explosion at the point of attack. Some of my favorite plays from him are that he's like short yardage, gotta have it situations. And he's just getting so freaking low at the point of attack. And just like they run right behind him because they know he's going to generate enough push in those short yard situations. So I really like that. But again, he is just smaller, but he has got good play speed and get off as a polar. Not totally sold on his anchor. It looks like he gets uncomfortable handling the speed to power rushes, which, again, a little bit more limited when you are playing guard. Hand placement's a bit too far outside, so you can get susceptible holding penalties, lunges a little bit, balance issues popped up. I just wish I saw more gap scheme from UConn with him because it just seems like that might be somewhere he fits.
Yeah, UConn was really bad this year too, and that's something that
Holy
people always
shit.
bring up. They're
Okay.
like, he's still going off in fourth quarters, and they're down by like 50, and you think a Super Bowl was on the line.
Some of my favorite reps are that the right tackle next to him was so freaking bad that he'd be cleaning up on the outside of the right tackle because the right tackle was just getting beat around the edge. So he'd just abandon his gap and just go clean up around the edge because he knew his right tackle isn't going to get there. It was the funniest shit to me when I was watching it.
Jim Moore Jr., baby.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, there's still a ton of guys that I got to watch.
So many.
Patrick Paul, Haynes, you just mentioned him, the Yale kid, Cedric Van Praan. Got to watch
As
Mahogany
a
from
Georgia
Boston
fan, I
College.
liked Van Praan. I don't have any notes on him, but every time I watched, he just like kicked some ass as a center. I'm excited to actually go and watch the film on him.
Zach Zinter from Michigan, the Packers are apparently bringing him in. I know he has some sort of an injury question. Roger Rosengarten, I didn't pay attention to the right side of Washington's offensive line. He plays right tackle. He was a guy that Mel Kiper just mocked in the first round to, I think, San Francisco at 31. So I got to watch him. He's 115th on the consensus draft board. So that's a hell of a rise in a short amount of time for the kid. I think next week, what we'll do, I'm going to keep trying to go through these offensive linemen. And if there's anyone of note, if I find like a Zach Tom or something like that, we could talk about him. More expansively, but then just kind of hit on those and visits are coming out. Like we have two right now, right? It's Edgerrin Cooper and exact Zach Zinter. So more of these should be rolling out. Pro days are coming to an end. I guess we'll hit on that next week.
Did you want to talk about draft needs real quick or as we wrap things up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because everyone's in your mentions about corner.
Okay, contracts are out. So we know the Keyshawn contract, we know the AJ Dillon contract. Oh, that is an alarm. The AJ Dillon contract basically gives him nothing in terms of any sort of commitment moving forward. He got something like an eighth of a million in a signing bonus, which relatively nothing on the NFL scale. His salary is not guaranteed, anything like that. So the Packers should still be in the running back market. We don't have to delete the running back ranking episode just yet. Cornerback is a position I think they've kind of filled out. They've
Yeah.
re-signed three of their own. They gave Keyshawn a legitimate 2-year deal, with basically like an option for the third season. A team option basically is what it boils down to. It seems like they're gonna have Valentine, and Stokes fight for one spot outside corner. Keyshawn and Ballantyne both got raises, pretty significant raises. And then they brought back Robert Rochelle, who played special teams for him too. So I don't think cornerback is that big of a need. I mean, maybe they take a guy day three who can like help on special teams and can maybe be a little bit more of a hybrid guy in case Keyshawn goes down, right? But I think their plan is just Keyshawn, Jair, and then, break the pull stick, right? And someone's going to win at the other outside corner job.
I actually love this. And I get that like people want a corner and like I just
They
don't
want
see it.
five.
Yeah.
They want Jair gone. They want Stokes gone. They want Keyshawn gone. Like, I can't believe it.
But
That's what.
the reason I love it so much, Halfley is known for developing defensive backs. Give him at least a year with this whole crew. Who's going to stand out? Then you can tackle corner in a future draft. And honestly, in this class, once the top guys are gone, it's just a freaking cliff on prospects at corner. So just don't take one. Don't feel like you have to reach. Get some linemen. Take every single pick as a lineman, as Justice has been doing in mocks, and see what you got. But
I took
I'm
like
really
20, 25 offensive linemen in a mock draft simulation thing because I traded down to like basically out of the first two rounds. It was pretty funny.
I am so excited to see like what step Jair, Stokes, Keyshawn, especially Valentine can take in the secondary with Halfley. I mean, I still really struggle to like guess or like read up on Halfley's scheme. I need to see it in person to get a better
It's cover
feel.
one and cover three.
Yeah, I know.
It's that's what it
And
is.
thank goodness I played at a high school that did cover three because it helps me out quite a bit with this stuff. But I'm very excited about it. I'm excited to see what the secondary looks like, especially with McKinney, because I'm still shook that we got McKinney. It was just the guy all of APC wanted, like number one free agent, like wish list, and got him.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a little bit more hybrid of a role than what we kind of expected.
Yes.
That's something that plays well with a guy like Javon Bullard, the Georgia guy. I know he was your safety one.
Yep.
Sounds like they're going to play left and right safety, and they're just going to, rotate guys down or up based off of what the formation brings to them, which I don't think is a bad way to do it in the NFL. It's better than seeing jet motion and making your cornerback run all the way across the formation and stuff like that. So, I think, you're still looking for a starter at safety opposite
Yep.
of McKinney. At linebacker, you're looking at a starter and a half, question
Yeah.
mark.
I was gonna say two, but McDuffie is worth a half. He really showed me something last year.
Yeah, plus, like, they're still going to play a nickel a lot. So it's not like they're going to need that Sam all the
100%.
time. I don't know what kind of a role they're going to look at these guys. I know Silverstein reported that Quay was going to play the will, but then
I'm
they're bringing
convinced
in
they're
Edgerrin
lying.
Cooper.
They
Like, but
just lie.
yeah, and
Yeah.
then they're bringing in Edgerrin Cooper. So, like, I'm like, okay, Cooper clearly is a will. Like,
Yeah.
he can't, in the scheme, he can't do anything other than be a will. So, yeah, I think safety, linebacker, offensive line, those are the biggest needs. And that's kind of everything I'm looking at the first 2 days of the draft. I mean, maybe someone drops, but. And until we know who that name is, like, I'm gonna be looking at linemen, basically.
Yep. So is that the plan next week? Just more linemen, or what do we want to do for next week?
Linemen visits, touching on other stuff. I gotta touch back on some of these rankings. I gotta watch Cole Bishop, that safety out of Utah again, because he's getting hyped as like a top 100 guy. I didn't think he was anywhere close to that, and
He's
I was
fine.
actually surprised by his
The
combine.
hype is
So.
out of this world right now. Like he's fine. He's better than what I thought he was going to be, but he's not like the next godsend safety. Like, let's calm down.
I gotta watch him again, because yeah, I didn't think he was anywhere near that. Again, visits will come out. That's a huge thing. We've talked about that before. If you're like a draftable prospect, and you're getting a visit with the Packers, it's basically like a 50-50 shot. You're getting drafted, and then everything else is like undrafted free agent recruiting, right? So Zinter, all the other offensive linemen. And then we could probably touch on Edgerrin Cooper again.
That boy fast.
Yeah, that boy is very fast. And Cole Bishop. Yeah, by the way, Edgerrin Cooper, what did he run at his pro day?
The 4.51.
That is fast.
That boy fast.
He is a will. I will not be gaslit. Play Quay
He
and
just
Mike. Just play Quay and Mike.
it's so funny because Quay's college film screamed Mike, and now his NFL film screams, I don't know, but
I do think, okay, let's touch on this. You saw the Devondre stuff, right?
oh my God.
All the stuff that
Yep.
he was posting on social media. If you're listening to this, you probably have seen it too. If not, find it at acmepackingcompany.com because we wrote it up. He was like, yeah, I mean, we put our linebackers basically in impossible positions last season with how fast Basically, what he was saying is they had to slow play their run fits because they needed to hit their run fits at the same time as the safeties. But because the safeties were playing off, they were inviting the run, and it was just basically conceding yards, right? And I don't disagree with that. And then even in the passing game, I don't know how many times we have to talk about it, but like anytime that these linebackers got spread out, they were giving two-way goes to wide receivers in the slots. Like it was a bad scheme at the end. They were fully exposed. The Tampa Bay game, it
Bad.
was the end of Joe Barry
Yep.
to me. That's when it was like Canales had the perfect game plan, and like, why wouldn't teams just Xerox that, right? Why wouldn't they just photocopy and just do it over and over and over again? So I kind of think Quay can still play Mike. He can't play Mike in that Joe Barry scheme, but I don't know who can other than like prime Bobby Wagner at this point.
All I could think of when I saw the tweets was Hannibal Buress just going, "Why are you booing me? I'm right."
I think he was right about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think he conveniently left off the fact that
He can't run. Yeah.
he's been injured so many times over the past 2 years that he can no longer run. But the other points, I think Devondre had some salient thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as bothered by some people about how he went about it. I don't love how he went about it, but also who cares that much?
I don't care.
But again, I think there's some valid truth. I liked his take on Quay as well, just saying he needs to turn his brain off and just play football, which is where Will makes a little more sense.
I just don't know how you get him and Cooper on the field at the same time.
No, I
All right.
don't.
Next week, more offensive linemen visits, hopefully, and rechecks on some of these guys. Sound like a plan?
Sounds great. Can't wait. It's my favorite position to evaluate because you can always very quickly tell which national media people do not watch offensive linemen once you start watching them.
They're the ones who are ranking Fuaga in the top 10 right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Go Pack, go.